Welcome to the Ben Eric Aid Staff Podcast, and today we have with us...
Dave.
Gavin.
Dave. Half of a Dave.
Dave.
Because my leg is still broken.
Both days are in present.
Yes.
The end is...
And we also have it, Josh.
Optional. Josh.
Anyway, I'm Josh.
Hi, Josh.
And welcome. We're going to... to another little music cast as requested by the millions of fans out there.
100 million. I think this one reached 100 million retweets on the, hey, would you guys do another music podcast? Good. That really helped
That's
me out.
Good.
Who was on the, I didn't hear it. Who was on the first music cast?
Not you.
It was us.
Loser.
Okay. I would have been scared
it
if it was
us
me.
And Brian, yeah.
Yeah, Brian is there.
Oh, Brian. Yeah, that would be interesting. Brian and I have similar musical tastes.
That's true.
Are you being serious? There's a divergent
path. They do. There's like artists that they both listen to that I would like, that I don't think a lot of people listen to. Like you like the Frames too, right?
Never heard of them. Okay, so this is going to be a problem?
No, I thought there was a
no,
that
what
was
are
like
you,
one of the bands that
you're
you
saying
like
you like
also
stuff
like.
That he likes. What are you talking about? He likes folky stuff.
Specifically, we both like the sort of 80s trash poppy dork music, like
really?
Tears for Fears stuff, synthy, goofy.
Oh, well, yeah, who doesn't like that?
Yeah, Tears for Fears
weird
is
people.
Awesome.
Yeah, Tears for Fears is great.
This
Duran
is a Tears
Duran
for Fears
is great.
Room.
All right, I'm on board.
You don't have to fear any tears around here. We got you. You can let them fly.
So this time we are talking about just one album because the last time was a little much.
It's one album of recent replayability.
Yeah, that you're liking
brains.
Right now.
Yes,
because you know that's what's relevant. What do you like right now? Mm-hmm. Now, what you like when you were 12?
Yeah, let's go for what's hot, what's kicking, what's fresh.
Not necessarily hot.
Yeah, I mean, it could still be. It could be
hot to you.
It's what you're currently into.
Yeah.
Yes.
If that were a Tears for Fears album, that would be okay.
Yeah.
If there were a new Tears for Fears album, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, there was when I
was
in college.
That's a long time ago.
I know, but like in the Tears for Fears continuum, that's still a new Tears for Fears album, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Brian.
We said Tears for Fears.
We did.
We're talking. We're
did
talking
we summon
you
by saying it too many times?
Oh, and Dave called them trashy 80s music.
But in a good way. Like
a
lovingly
way.
Trashy.
It's not, lovingly
there's
trashy.
Not, there's nothing trashy. It's not like... Well, it's not like hair metal. That's trashy.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Or even if you said, like, I would say Duran Duran before Tears for Fears if I was going to describe a band as trashy 80s.
What? No way. Anyway.
Hi, Brian. Welcome to the...
So if you say Tears for Fears Pioneer three Kids times, you summon him.
You don't want that. Don't do it.
So who wants to go first?
I want Gavin to go first.
Okay. I chose Chance the Rapper's, I guess you could say, debut album, because he's put out only mixtapes up until this, like on his...
I think he still calls this a mixtape, so we don't even know.
Yeah, basically, it's called Coloring Book, and he is famous for being unsigned. Like, that is... He is the only unsigned artist, I think, to ever perform on SNL.
Yeah.
And he is not unsigned because he's like waiting for the right deal to come along. He's unsigned because he does not give a fuck shit about record labels and he hates them. And that's kind of like his whole deal. A lot of the songs on the album, there's one specifically called No Problems. A lot of them sort of discuss that issue where he feels like, you know, if he's got other friends that are rappers and or artists in whatever way, and he wants to like feature them on a song, he feels like they're being held hostage because there's like all these hoops he has to jump through, or sometimes they're just like legitimately not allowed to work with him or whomever. But why I, so that's kind of like how I'd say Chance entered like the like musical zeitgeist.
Yeah,
currently.
He's very very popular.
We found him, Dave and I found him on a Jeremiah track.
Yeah, he was a guest artist.
There's like a feat on a Jeremiah track, and not even like the main Jeremiah track, like there's this track called
Planes
that usually features J. Cole, and then one of the remixes we found swaps out J. Cole for Chance the Rapper, and it was like this the goofiest rhymes, He like sings his portion to the tune of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I've Got a Golden Ticket. And it was just so like whimsical. And
you
like,
can hear him smile.
You can
the whole
hear
time.
Him smiling when he's like speaking or singing. Mm. And like that's kind of what got us hooked on him. And I think that like that is the best way to describe everything that he does, is you can hear him smile as he does it. Like he is super, super positive in his music, and not just like specifically in like the lyrics or something like that. It's not like he only, you know, talks about like service level stuff or like super like positive thoughts and stuff. It's just he puts a lot of heart into everything that he does, and like it's kind of like that infectious enthusiasm where like watching him perform. That's why I sent two links to you guys. One of them was like a live version of him performing a song, mm-hmm. and one of them was the other one from the album. Is because I think that like watching him perform something adds like a value to his work. But you know, if you speak, you can hear if someone's smiling or not, right? You can hear that that change in their tone, and you can hear that on his album, like on the whole thing. And I can't get enough of it. Like it came out this summer, but it came out like right when like Life of Pablo, like Kanye's recent album did. It came out right when Views from the Six, Drake's most recent album did. And I just kept going back to Chance the Rapper's album. Like I'd listen to those, and I just like go back to Chance. And I think part of that reason is just because of how like infectious it feels. Like mm-hmm. I can't stop listening to it because he makes me feel like excited about his music. And the song that I picked to tell you guys to listen to was Summer Friends, which the reason that it's not necessarily my favorite track on the album, but it has like what I think is like some of the most evocative imagery on the album, where like he's rapping about being like a little kid out hanging out with his friends on the street. And he says like socks on concrete. And for whatever reason, that just like brings such a visual to my mind. Like, you know exactly what that like that is, like that time. Like, I can just picture like being a little kid where it's like you're playing with your friends that live at home, or you're playing, you know, like your neighbors or something, like, mm-hmm. and you didn't even put shoes on because you just went outside. Like, they just, you're right there in your backyard with your friends and stuff. And I don't know, something about that song specifically just like gives me like real good vibes, definitely like real good summer vibes and stuff. And it's kind of like more of a like a somber song, I'd say.
Yep. Lyrically.
But mm-hmm. just like really, really visually evocative. And I like a song that feels like it can transport you to a different place. And that one, like, I feel like I can listen to that song with my eyes closed and just like, you know, feel that summer sun being like a little kid with a bike, you know, outside in the sidewalk with your friends. And I have not stopped listening to it since it came out. And I was listening to it since the day it came out, like super ready for that. Cause it was like one of the most hyped albums because everybody knew he was going to like actually do like an official release, like this one you could actually get on iTunes. Whereas, you know, since he doesn't have a label, everything else he's just put out through like SoundCloud. And
yeah,
this was a big deal.
Actually championed the movement to make you can now get a Grammy without having a record label, like just based off independent release. Cause I think it was him and Frank Ocean that like kind of did that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, so it was funny cause when Kanye's album came out, which was just before Chance's this year, the first track on that is Ultralight Beams, which is like arguably the best track on the album. And that track features Chance the Rapper and has like, it's almost like the telling the narrative of Chance's album to come.
Yeah.
Where he's talking about how he heard you have to sell it to get a Grammy, and saying that like, you know, he's gonna put it out just for that reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I fucking love it. I'm so hyped on this album.
Good. I'm glad you're happy about it.
What did you think, Dave?
What did I think of Chance the Rapper?
Yeah.
I cannot do rap music, and I'm sorry.
That's fine. You don't have to like it.
Do you not like any rap music?
I cannot think of a single rap song.
Like the Beastie Boys?
No.
Oh, man. Sabotage is barely a rap song.
It's mostly an aggressive mosh pit song.
Yeah.
Also, something I'm not super into, although I would forgive anyone who will listen to my choice and think that it sounds like an angry mosh song.
No,
there are portions. There are portions
of yours.
Yeah,
I guess if you turn yours on like midway through minute 12 or 13.
Did you actually listen?
Oh, yeah. We did.
No, the beginning is a little aggressive too. It's got some of that aggressive rhythm and stuff.
I
It doesn't feel moshy, though. It
feels... The singing, though, does not, but, you know.
I feel like those guitarists have their feet flying.
Double bass pedal.
They have their feet flying. Firmly planted on the ground, and they're not moving.
Yeah.
Because that's what prog bands do is...
I think of it as like...
That's sweeping motion for the people that can't hear.
I think of it as dad rock.
Dad rock?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, first we got to get into this, so hold on. We were talking about Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
Josh, do you have feelings of this Chance fellow?
What did you think about Chance the Rapper?
So Summer Friends, I didn't like the beginning of it. It was R&B, which is not really my thing. But then once the rapping came in and the groove came in, I really liked the rest of the song because it was very chill.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. He does some interesting instrumentation on some of the songs and throws in some interesting instruments. And I like the fact that some of the songs, he doesn't even bother to sing in tune.
No.
He sings. Oh, he's somewhere there and that's all. He doesn't care. It's close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like the experimental nature of it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's him having fun.
Yeah, it's interesting because he doesn't have to please anybody and he doesn't have the record labels breathing down his neck over certain songs. I mean, bands have made songs shitting on record labels since bands have started getting signed to where they were forced to cut songs because they didn't appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So it is cool that he can do that. It's really weird because he essentially released like a gospel album and then so did Kanye.
Yeah, like there's so much, there's a lot of gospel.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
But like those are some of my favorite tracks. Like that very, very last... The very last track on the album, which is like another, like, it's still called Blessings, but it's the one that has all the feats on it. It's like, that track, I will like keep playing over and over again. Like, I'll put that one on repeat just because, like, I don't know. I dig it. And it's not, there's not even a lot to it. It's just like, it's just got a really, really good vibe.
A gospel rap album.
Gospel just, and rap
are it's
like,
not that far away.
One and the same. Really? There is so much soulful stuff in like, I think specifically with what like Kanye has brought to the genre, but there's a lot of that, especially like right now.
Mostly,
with the current,
I think
like,
it's most like Southern rap has been a lot influenced by gospel because of the location. So any of that like Outkast and stuff, I pictured
straight up like samples of gospel songs on like that you can get like halfway into a Chance track and there hasn't even been anything but gospel samples yet.
Or him going huh huh.
Yeah, I love his noises. Oh, man. The noises that he makes give me life. And the fact that, like, I've seen him on interviews or, like, radio, you know, programs, podcasts, things like that. And that's, like, how he, like, intros himself, too. He'll just be like, Like, that's just, like, part of his, like, hey, I'm here. That's, like, his, like, what's up?
So is he, like, actually talking about Jesus in these rap songs?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
there's Wow.
There's some J-Man references, but, we're not thinking of it as it's not a Christian record.
Sure.
No,
but there
not.
Are references.
Yeah. And that's that's definitely not uncommon.
I think it's upbringing.
I think it's probably more common than uncommon.
Rappers
actually.
Talk about God a lot and murdering people at the same time.
Yeah.
So
why not?
Well, murdering people less, I'd say, than God at this point.
Yeah. Just murdering people, current, like, murdering current, people is not a current MO for
not with,
like, gangsta
not with,
rap
like,
is
pop,
out.
Not with pop rap music, at least.
Yeah. It's all about dollar bills and Jesus.
And Jesus. All right.
That's how you get the dollar bills. Pray to Jesus. He'll give you more.
Please, God, make me rich.
That's a song right
That's
there.
That's how it works.
So, David.
Ah.
Shall we talk about your song or your album?
I'd love to talk about
your song
album.
That was as long as an album?
Yeah. How many songs are on that album besides that one song?
I have an interesting relationship with music by which I never listen to music radio and I don't really talk to other people about music. So I have sort of gone off on my own and I listen to weird music that nobody else has ever heard of. And it makes discussions like this very difficult for me because I don't know anything about the music scene.
David, I want to let you know
that
we all listen to kind of weird stuff here.
All right.
And while you are very much like, I listen to weird stuff and I'm insecure to talk about it because... You haven't really done that before.
Yeah.
I promise there's way weirder music out there that people love and will talk to and that there are entire subreddits for like a single artist within that.
You just listen to Merzbow.
David
nobody
and I
likes
are,
that
like,
shit.
Part of our friendship is around bands that like we're the only people we know of who listen to them.
If I can find somebody that likes a certain band, we have to be best friends.
Yeah, like you know you're going to be friends with that person.
So it's okay.
All right.
And I don't think the genre of music, like, I can name several like grindcore bands that no one here would ever be super interested to listen to. And you don't even know what that word means per se.
I don't, but I have no idea.
But so you don't need to be worried about that.
All right. I'm ready.
Worried. I'm ready for you to talk to me about what you enjoy about this music, because maybe you've never had that discussion before.
All right. The band that I have been listening to lately is a band called Redemption. It is an album called The Art of Loss, which is their most recent album. And it is a progressive metal. So it is sort of along the same lines of Dream Theater, who is a fairly prominent name.
Mm-hmm. People know that one.
People should hopefully know that one most of the time, if you at all are interested in the genre anyway. And I think that Redemption is a very interesting band. Aside from the music, it is headed by a person by the name of Nick Van Dyck, D-Y-K. And he is actually, he is an executive for, right now he's the co-president of Activision Blizzard. Wow. I'm not even making this up.
He's the vocalist?
He's the vocalist. He writes all the songs. And that was a recent position. He used to be an executive at Disney. Like, he was one of the people who brought in the Marvel universe that purchase.
So yeah.
And he looks like an executive. Like, he looks like a quote unquote normal person. And when you see him in these music videos surrounded by, you know, death metal rockers, yeah. it is just such a bizarre experience he does not fit in at all. I've had this conversation with Jerry, and it creeps Jerry out to see this. I mean, he looks like a dad just headbanging along with these long-haired goth-looking guys. But yeah, so like many progressive albums, it features some long songs, and the song that I unfortunately forwarded over to the rest of the people in this room is a 22-minute song, I think. Mm-hmm. Which apparently everyone listened to all of. Which
you said it was your favorite.
Yeah, I might have made it through just to hold it over your head that you made me listen to a 22-minute song.
Fair enough.
And also, I did listen to the other one, but I found the 22-minute one way more interesting than the other one.
Me too.
The other one was pretty standard.
Yeah.
The 22-minute one had a lot of different things going on there.
And that's what I like about progressive music is I like going back and forth with different themes and different tempos. And I find that I can listen to that music for a long time without wanting to change it, which is really what I want.
You're stuck listening to it for a long time.
Yes, exactly. I don't normally do like the Pandora or the Spotify thing where it's just choosing bands for me. I prefer listening to music when I'm working to be something that I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. It's a little easier for me to concentrate on what I'm trying to do.
Sure.
And progressive seems to scratch that itch, and I don't get tired of it the way that I might get tired of other good music. Like Tears for Fears is a good example of music that I like that I couldn't listen to for a month. Mm. But progressive rock, I tend to be able to do that for whatever reason.
So how did you first get into prog? Because it's not, as you say, it's not really mainstream.
Yeah, how do you discover new
music? So where
did
you first get into it?
It has been a long time since I've really been in the music scene at all. So at this point, like a traditional old person, I only listen to the stuff that I know of. Mm-hmm. And as far as how I got into progressive rock in the first place, my father was a big influence there.
Ah.
Although he does not care for the band Redemption, he's also a big idiot because Redemption's awesome.
Take that, dad.
Yeah. Fuck parents, right?
One day he's going to die and then I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Hopefully listening to this podcast will kill him.
Jesus, babe.
Perhaps.
So what do you like about, I would call this a standard progressive metal band.
Yeah.
Versus I prefer more of like a very like tech or mathy prog metal. And I think Josh does as well, right?
You get mathy.
Yeah, and I also, the thing I don't like about most prog is the singers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have that sound and it's not my sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is actually a really interesting thing that I wanted to bring up is the reason that I think the reason I can never get behind rap music is because it's all about the singing and I just completely ignore the vocals pretty much entirely when I listen to music.
That's not what you're going for.
That's not what I'm interested in.
That's so interesting.
Without the singing, like, there's not a lot left in a rap song. And it's
about,
also
like that word smithing.
Yeah. And it also lets me listen to progressive rock with obnoxious singers and often not super great lyrics, and it never bothers me.
Interesting.
Yeah, because they're so clear too. They sing so clearly. Yeah, there's nothing hidden. Yeah.
And I was wondering if you liked it because of a lot of prog bands are giant stories, like songs or single songs or stories. And it's like there was the halfway mark of that song that could have cut it because it fades out, then fades back in.
Yeah, it definitely feels like multiple songs
and
put into one.
I'm sure what's keeping it together is the theme and like the like lyrics, as they wanted to keep that going as one idea. But if you're not listening to that, that feels a little bit.
I couldn't tell you anything about the lyrics. I don't even know what the song is about.
I repeated them out loud at one point when I heard one, and that's all I remember. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I'm sure it was very generic. And that is the common criticism with progressive rock, where it just feels like there's multiple songs glued together.
When you say progressive rock, I can picture what the entire band looks like.
Yeah, except for the lead guy.
Well, apparently. I can't picture him. No, but I can see.
Well, now you're just picturing a guy in like a polo, and then the rest of the band.
Yeah, pretty
polo,
much.
Polo, some pleated Dockers.
Yes, that is literally what you're like.
Is he wearing that in the music video?
You'll have to pull it up.
Yeah, does he have like an alter ego?
It's going
to
be very apparent. You're going to see the video pan between the different band members, and then you're going to see this guy. Oh, that's the one.
Nice.
But yeah, he is the main guy behind the band. He writes all the music. He produces it. He does everything except plays all the instruments.
Well, yeah. But
it's
you,
like the Bad Religion guy who's like super generic looking teacher.
Yeah.
But man, he is the key to that band.
Yeah. I think there's a few bands like that that have like, how long has this band been a band? Redemption.
10, 15 years.
Yeah. So he's like the glue. I'm sure that everyone else comes and goes and he just kind of holds it together.
Yeah. That's what it is.
I know a few bands like that, to where it's just like, the only one that matters is the guy who writes all the songs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then they just kind of swap it.
You know, it doesn't matter what he looks like.
Yeah.
He just does his thing.
Yep.
Doesn't give a shit. He has his message that he wants to get out.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Bush Dave doesn't listen to.
Nope. His message hits a brick wall before it ever hits
me. Man, I was going to talk lyrical content for a while.
I'm sorry.
I'm not even going to look towards
the
direction at all.
Is there none of them that you really go for lyrically?
I do, like Dave was mentioning, I do like a lot of concept albums, which are stories told through the course of the album. But even then, I think what I really like is the inherent balance that it brings with the music, where there's always this arc. And it's never actually just the lyrics. Mm. I mean, there's a few albums, like, for instance, Pink Floyd's The Wall. You can't.
It's really funny. I used that as an example when we were listening to your album earlier.
Oh, yeah?
I'm a huge Pink Floyd fan.
Yeah.
Huge.
How could you not be?
Because I was like, this track sounds like if you just took the second half of The Wall and put it into one track and then called it one track. But it's not. It's just telling a story.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense.
And that's the way I listen to music,
too. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a few albums where I will listen, where I'll find something in the lyrics that I latch onto, but Redemption is probably not that.
Sure. Do you know of any bands that you listen to? Like, so I like Coheed a lot because the whole idea of their band being a continuous story, a sci-fi like story, is really interesting to me. Is there anything like that exists out there in that sphere? I mean, you could consider Coheed prog as well.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I certainly would.
It's got interesting vocals too, which
I also
helps.
Can't listen to them because of the vocals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I find them interesting. They're weird enough that I like them.
That's Dave said he just like pushed through it, and
I actually hated Coheed in high school.
I got used to
bad, and I love At the Drive-In, who had like a similar like vocal range.
Yeah, but
we'll sing way better. I understand. But I just tried it again 10 years later, and I really liked it, like a whole lot.
The only band I've ever been able to push through was Bright Eyes. Because Connor Oberst, on that early-ass Bright Eyes stuff,
shaky kind.
That boy cannot sing at all, and he does not care. He just pushes through it.
Appreciate
I started listening to it ironically. and just making fun of it, and then somewhere in there, and
now you're vaping every night.
Stopped being ironic, and I fucking love Connor and everything he does. Like, he's like incredibly talented, but I had like, it was a struggle to get through because his vocals were just trash.
Yeah,
and he's definitely also gotten better, but like, that was, he did not get better in the time that I was listening.
I feel that way about Dream Theater. I hate the lead singer on it, on them. I just cannot stand it. But the music is all great.
Yeah.
There's an interesting, there's a band I like called Intervals, who's like a more tech, like prog metal band. And I love their albums they'd released recently. And then I saw they had a new one on Spotify. I was like, oh, cool, I'll check that out. And there's no vocalist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, it turns out he just left. And then they re-recorded the other albums minus vocal tracks.
Interesting.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
That's super like, interesting.
It's interesting because I'm humming what the vocals would be doing right then. And I feel like I'm kind of interacting and like...
Yeah.
You can be your own vocalist.
Right? But I mean, it's yeah, made it's, for like, vocals, it's like an so acapella, can, not yeah, acapella, but whatever it's called when it's just the...
Instrumental.
Yeah. The, I mean, I said that out loud already, but you should check out the band because it's like that without the annoying guy who comes on and ruins it for you.
That's what I want. That sounds like the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
It's like Garfield without Garfield.
Yeah.
Garfield minus Garfield. Whatever. That's what Dave wants out of all music.
Yeah.
I guess we'll talk about mine since we're talking about, hopefully Dave didn't pay attention to the vocals of my song, track, album.
I mostly just want to know what David thought of everybody else's music.
Yeah, mostly too. I'm really interested. So I chose a band called Touche Amore, yep. And they have a new album that came out last Thursday or Friday called Stage 4. And Touche Amore is a post-hardcore band from LA. And they, when they first started, they were very aggressive and quick. Songs were like a minute to 2 minutes long. And they've since kind of just like, they've been playing shows for years and toured with a whole bunch of bands that they saw as influential, and they've kind of modified their style. I don't know if it's modified, but they've kind of just honed it in and kind of made it, I think it's more listenable now than mm-hmm. it used to be for sure. The singer Jeremy tried to, or at least started to sing on this album for the first time. He's never ever done clean vocals. Whenever you see him live, he sounds like he can't, because he's always just like, Hey guys, it's good to see you. We're Touche Amore. Bye. Like that's like the rest of the thing is he's screaming. So I'm really interested to see how that comes out live. But I'm glad that he pushed through to really try to do vocals. I actually read that he recorded with one of my favorite bands of all time, Me Without You. He recorded at the same people that recorded their more recent albums, where they also pushed Aaron, the singer of that band, to start singing a bit more. I guess because he was mostly yelling. So it's kind of interesting to see them both grow confidence. And then like Aaron is now a really good singer. So it's really interesting to see what he'll turn into. But so I had you guys listen to their opening track, which does not really have any singing in it at all. And then I also recommended one where it's only singing. And I'm not sure what you guys listen to.
Hold on. I
listen to both and maybe something else. I don't remember.
Yeah.
So when you said clean vocals, they were not the clean vocals I was expecting. It's more of like a Division Lou Reed low thing.
No, yeah, I didn't think so either. I think that's just where he can, that's his range.
So that's what they're all like?
Whenever he's been doing clean vocals, which is this album, they're all kind of like...
That's interesting.
In the,
I like that.
Like
yeah.
They sound like The National.
Because I mean...
I know he loves The National, but I don't think he has the range to go higher.
I don't know. Because I mean, you
high
can
scream.
Hear it in his... Yeah, in his yells, especially... what song was it? Oh, yeah. Flowers and You.
Yeah.
That's one
I like the way he shouts in that one better than any of the other ones.
At the end, he starts to shout to an actual note. So it's like a false mm-hmm. scream. Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, because the way he does it reminds me of Desaparecidos.
Desaparecidos.
Yeah,
Which is Connor.
Yeah. Which is Connor. Yeah. And then the way it's just like, it sounds more passionate and not just like one note.
Yeah, that's also new, is like he's always hung in the same range, which a lot of screamers are forced to do because that's where it comes out.
It's easiest.
But when
yeah.
people find out how to kind of push that along notes, mm-hmm. that's when I really... That's when I feel it the most. So
yeah.
I really appreciate that you noticed that. Cause I was like,
yeah.
originally was trying to, so when, before it was Dave, it was going to be Kiko. And I was like, what song can I make Kiko actually listen to? Cause it's Kiko and he's going to listen to J-pop and that's it. There's
and
no
cake.
And yeah, ska.
He likes cake.
K-pop.
He likes grunge J-pop. Too. Yeah.
Kiko likes grunge?
Yeah. You know, he likes, you know, Nirvana, et cetera, et cetera.
Sublime.
The thing that's special about that Touché album to me is that, like, they've been around since 07, and, like, this is their first album in 3 years? I think it's, like, a three-year gap.
Sure.
So, like to me, that's like an old band, even though they're not, like, you know, they've been around forever. But, like, that, like, they're an old band, and this is, like, a new direction for them. And it seems like all of the post-hardcore bands that, at least that Dave and I listen to, like, is kind of making that same shift. Like, when I was listening to it, all I could think of was Pianos Become the Teeth, which is another post-hardcore band, and how, like, their last album made this same jump where the singer just, like, started pushing out clean vocals.
He does only clean vocals now.
Yeah. But he's also better at it, I'd say, too. He's more traditional, you know, in that sense. And then La Dispute is one of my favorite bands. Same thing. They're their most recent album made that jump where they pushed, like, more clean vocals. And I think what's cool about that with that specific genre is that when you pepper in the screaming vocals or that more intense yelling, when you've got songs with clean vocals, it, like, makes everything more intense. It makes everything feel more, like, powerful.
Mm-hmm. Timing-wise.
Yeah. Like, it gives more power to those moments because it gives a contrast. And I like that. I like that contrast. And I'm excited that seems to be where, like, post-hardcore has sort of shifted to without losing the part of it that still makes it, like, hardcore, that still made it hardcore to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dave, what do you think about that? Because you looked at me weird earlier.
I remember looking at you weird. I can't remember what that was in response
to. What do you think of screamy music?
Yeah, how do you handle that since you ignore vocalists?
Were you able to ignore it?
It's like a distorted car.
Because I feel like, because it's really interesting, because we went on a car ride with Amy Falcone 2 days ago, and she hates
screamo, like, hardcore, all of that.
Anything when there's...
I know this about her.
Anything with aggressive vocals. We turned it on, and I was like, Amy, I'm really sorry about this, but we're going to have to do this right now. And she's like, why? This is good. And it was like the intro to that, which is like 20, 25 seconds of just
chill.
Mm-hmm. Starting to get, like, driving, but, like, chill vibes.
And she's like, why did you think I would hate this? And we're like, just buckle in.
And then she thought it was joking.
She said, she's like, you're fucking with me, right? We're like, no. She's like, no, you're not. This isn't real. And I was like, and she knows we listen to that. It wasn't like, you know, this was the first time we'd ever exposed her to such a thing.
Yeah.
To answer the question, some of the music that I listen to ends up having just a little bit of screaming, like the death metal stuff.
Sure.
So
you get like a...
You're more
I get some of that. Some of that happens.
Any pig squeals?
What was that?
Any pig squeals? No?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, you would know.
I wouldn't know.
You would. Because it no longer registers in the vocal pattern that's, like, human. Like, I can put this out of my brain and listen to just the music. It's more like, what's happening to that pig right now?
Yeah. I don't remember asking me that.
Go on. I'm sorry. You didn't really...
So that didn't bother you.
How'd you feel about that? Those tracks? How did it work out for you?
I mean, I listened to all of it, but I couldn't get anything out of the rap. I thought that the Flowers and Me, that sounded interesting. And I actually really liked Josh's pick.
It's Radiohead. It's standard.
Palatable.
Well,
yeah. For some people, I guess.
It's the most palatable, I'd say, out of, like, the four options we have.
Yeah.
In terms of just, like,
just coming in blind. Yeah. Like, it always takes, you have to listen to music many times. Yeah. At least I do. Before I can figure it out.
Yeah. Really quick before we start talking about Josh's selection, which we've kept a secret until right now. Well, I guess until later. Is the theme of that album is very, very intense. And if you've gone through anything, specifically with dad, with Dave talking about his dad dying for some reason. this whole album is about the singer's mom passing away. She got cancer, and interestingly enough, told him to continue, like, don't stay in the hospital with me, go tour, because she's, like, a big supporter of the band. Hmm. And he got a phone call, like, during a set that they were playing, that just, like, and it's referenced in the lyrics, like, while he was playing a song, while he was playing a show, like, he got a call, like, his mom passed away. Hmm. And so the album's kind of struggling with the guilt of not being there for her. And just, like, he's starting to find, like, questions that he never asked her. Like, he realizes that it's too late to ask her. And it's kind of like a reoccurring theme of like, you live in LA. Why did you move to LA? We used to live in New York, and that's pretty cool. So it's like two or three of the songs reference New York. And in fact, that last Skyscrapers song is all just him guessing or him pretending that that's her life and she lives there and stuff like that. And the music video is rough because he's pushing a wheelchair without anyone in it through New York City. So if you know that context, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and then the voicemail from his mom.
Oh, yeah, at the very end of that song, you can hear it, the last voicemail that his mom left him on his phone. So it's very deep and
that's
heavy.
That's a little rough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing that seems to fucking permeate
because
post-hardcore.
Yeah, because Piano's Come to Teeth, dead dad.
And what is
that situation?
Was it MS? Or
MS.
His dad died of MS and then found out that it's hereditary? Or
yeah, and he's really afraid of it.
Yeah, and he's like, he's pissed that his mom told him that it was hereditary.
Yeah.
So there's a song about him like, talking about like he's glad that his dad died before knowing that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's fucking heavy. Jesus Christ.
So if you got parents still, this won't hit you as hard. But if you don't,
if you got fam
feels, shit.
Good luck.
Or if you got sick parents.
Sick parents. It's definitely avoid this album for a little bit.
Good enough.
I want to be able to do it if you had sick parents. But yeah, what great happy music do you have to bring us, Josh?
I never listen to happy music.
That's so surprising.
Wow.
Well, it's not true. Sometimes I do, but
from across the room,
it's hard to find happy music that is.
The artists have to suffer, right?
No, I don't care about that. It's just not. It's not sincere enough. Usually, it has to, you know, be really.
Sure.
I don't know. Something.
Chance the Rapper.
You don't want it to sound like vapid. Like, there's a difference between something that's just, like, upbeat and happy, but, like, doesn't really say anything, and something that is, like, actually telling a story and conveying that feeling. I think it's easier to convey feeling with...
Or, like, happier music that has, you know, negative vocals, too. That's interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, mine is Radiohead, A Moon-Shaped Pool. Most people know that Radiohead is my favorite band.
And they're a band.
So it was, you know, obvious. What's it?
So they are a band. I thought you were going to say most people know Radiohead's a band.
No, they're my favorite band.
I didn't know that, so now I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Huh.
Most people know that, because I say it all the time. They're the best
band. He just walks around being like, Ray is my favorite band.
They're just the best band. No band is better than Radiohead. That's what I say all the time. All
right.
Anyway, this is probably, this might be close to my favorite Radiohead album now.
Second to?
Well, Amnesiac has a real good place because it's so experimental and it's so all over the place.
I'm excited about this conversation now.
But man.
And Gav's not.
The production.
Why would I not be?
The production on this album is crazy. I liken it to like the Beatles' White Album or something where it's all about making the best album in the studio. Who gives a fuck, you know, about touring or whatever, which they will do it anyways because they're amazing. I don't know how
but
fuck they do
that.
That's
not what's important.
Yeah. And they have like so many cool things with strings going on, like Burn the Witch, those percussive strings. I've never heard anybody do that before. That sounds so cool.
Percussive strings?
Did you not listen?
Like slap bass?
No. Like violins and cellos and stuff. Just going chin, like playing like a guitar.
I didn't listen to it with headphones. And I haven't listened to the album before.
Oh, well,
so I
it's
think
the
I
first
missed,
song.
I think I missed a lot.
You should listen to that one.
Not in headphones.
It's awesome.
It's a really good album. And it's just, every time I listen to it, it's just like so lush. It's just so well produced. It's so full.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Radiohead album since Kid A.
Yeah.
And Kid A is one of my favorite albums of all time. And Radiohead's not my favorite band. They're not like one of my favorite bands. But like that album is one of my favorite albums of all time, hands down. I have a Radiohead tattoo. I have everything in its right place on my forearm because of how powerful Kid A, how important that was to me.
Yeah.
I realized when I started to, like, I remember as a kid, like, when Kid A came out, I was in, like, I guess high school, maybe middle school. I don't know how early it was, but, like, I remember, like, just wishing that all Radiohead was Kid A because I was like, this is perfect. And then growing up and realizing that that's just Tom York.
Yeah.
Because everything he's done outside of Radiohead has just sounded like more Kid A.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And that's why I was so excited about Moonshaped Pool is because it just sounds like more Kid A. And it sounds like if you've listened to anything that Tom has done recently solo with like Atoms for Peace, it sounds so much like that, because I like gobbled that album up. I was like, it's only 45 minutes long, and I probably listened to it like on repeat for a month straight. And I really like Moonshade Pool because it has that same kind of vibe, which again, like the stuff that you can't really replicate outside of the studio.
Yeah,
it just sounds so clean and like, God, I don't know. Tom York is amazing. Like he's like.
He's an amazing dude.
The thread that holds that all together. And it's interesting, like, because to take, you know, it's like you take what he's done solo and it still sounds like Radiohead because
yeah.
it's just, it's him. And then the addition of, like, what was it? Flea was on Atoms for Peace. But like mm-hmm. his other solo stuff, he wasn't. But I love that it's just more of that sound. And I'm hoping that that's like an indicator that that's like what they will continue to put forward with like new Radiohead albums.
That would be nice. It's a really good album. What do you think, other guys?
So I bought one Radiohead album, and that album is OK Computer. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember why I picked that album. Somebody told me I should. And I liked it, but I never bought another Radiohead album. And I can't remember why. I'm trying to remember why I never did that. What should be like my next two or three albums?
That really depends on what you like.
Yeah. Like, do you like more OK Computer, or do you want more of
or what
like
songs?
Pool?
What songs in OK Computer do you like better?
It's been 5 years since I've listened to it.
Well, you know, that's
buy some BNL.
Do you like his vocals? What do you think of his vocals?
I don't remember. That's not what I listen to music for.
I think if you specifically aren't going for the vocals, like Kid A. Even though it's just my favorite, it's perfect for that. Like that song, like musically, or that album musically is incredibly impressive.
All right, Kid A,
yeah,
and Moonshade Pool.
Kid A and Moonshade Pool. Now, how recent is Moonshade Pool? I didn't even realize that Radiohead was still
early this year. I think.
Has Radiohead been going continuously, or do they call on hiatus for a while?
No, they just sometimes take a while in between.
Yeah, Tom seems to consistently be putting out music.
Yeah, he always does other side.
There's always like, it seems like there's always something coming out, whether it's a Radiohead album or a Tom York album or a Tom York side project.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like he's busy, but it's not, there hasn't just been like consistent Radiohead albums every year.
Radiohead's one of those bands that's so large internationally that they don't have to do anything to continue making money and living. So they don't have that struggle. So they just kind of make albums whenever they feel like they have enough songs to make albums.
Yeah, when they're good enough.
And they're good enough, yeah,
Tom just
for sure.
Feels like
and they're consistent.
He feels like another Trent Reznor to me, where like
everything
he touches musically is just like phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that he's the secret sauce. Like, it doesn't matter if it's Radiohead, doesn't matter if it's under any other name, like Tom York is the secret sauce. Like,
yeah.
It's not about Nine Inch Nails, it's about, you know, Trent Reznor.
So I listened to this album one time, and I hadn't listened to it previously because I did not like, was it In Colors? Was that what that's called?
In Rainbows.
In Rainbows, mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't like that album really at all. The only album that has ever resonated with me from Radiohead is Amnesiac. And I know that that's not like a popular opinion
amongst
people.
Why?
Because they mostly choose between OK Computer or Kid A.
Yeah,
that's kind of like the big section. And I never really gave them the time when I was younger or like even later on. It was just like that album when that came out. I listened to it a bunch and
mm-hmm.
I like it. So I like this because it's similar to to that.
A lot of different vocal stylings and stuff where he doesn't necessarily try to just sing standard.
Yeah.
He does weird things.
And I like spacey stuff.
Yeah.
And it's spacey.
Yeah.
I like space.
Yeah, I like Amnesiac better than, definitely better than like OK Computer, like Pablo Honey too. Like that was the one that always stuck out to me.
Yeah.
But they're like, they're one of those bands that like has like such a ever shifting sound like in a cool way though, where it's like it's like Beck. Like if somebody tells you they're a Beck fan,
Beck
it's like,
so
well, which Beck? Like which Radiohead do you like, you know? Because you could like Radiohead and hate Radiohead at the same time.
Yeah,
you could just like completely dislike one part of their sound and just be like totally in love with another.
Totally feel good about that music discussion we just had.
Mm-hmm. yeah you feel fulfilled.
Yeah. If you feel like commenting on any of those, feel free to email Josh or tweet at any of us individually.
Yeah.
Or talk to us at Bax because we always like that feedback.
We like
talking about music. Thanks to those people that did that.
Yeah.
And we'll have a a playlist up somewhere like last time if you want to listen to some of these songs.
Are we?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Wherever.
Easy enough.
Yeah, it's easy.
We can make a Spotify playlist or whatever playlist.
I do usually YouTube since it's more accessible to more people.
Oh, yeah, YouTube playlist so far.
Everybody got.
Yeah.
Everybody got
YouTube. I think I got that Spotify. I don't know about them spots.
Sports prep.
Yeah. All right. If you have any questions or topics you would like us to discuss, please email podcast@penny-arcade.com.
Peace.
See ya.
Peace.
David did it. I did it.